that there would be very few traces of what actually happened.
So whilst they're sitting there with their cigars and drinking their brandy at the bequest of their superiors, they're making shitloads of money at the same time as laughing through their glasses at us.
It's this cui bono, who benefits? And if you see right after this in your beautiful Great Britain here, they've just applied for 1,900 new jobs for the MI6, the MI5, the
I must say that I'm not in Britain and there's nothing great about it.
I know. I was kidding you.
Okay.
But no, take away great and back to Britain. But here we have who benefits, and suddenly you have 1,900 more jobs to control the population.
Yes.
Do you know how many that is? Let's start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1,900 is a lot. Mm-hmm. And they're already all over the place. And you got the whole bombings going. Everybody that manufactures bombs and planes and whatever, they make a bundle. Who pays? You and I.
Tax money.
Mm-hmm. And this whole, you have the G20 in Turkey, you got the climate conference, you had Al Gore, a Bilderberger, he was at the Eiffel Tower doing a live event there, that was shut down because of concern for the grieving families and so on. It's all there in this mix. And then you had just weeks before this happened, I think it was on the 29th of October, there was a panel at the George Washington University in the US, partly sponsored by the CA. There was a panel there called the Shared 21st Century International Mission, mm-hmm. okay, at the GV Center for Cyber and Homeland Security. That's very nice.
Yes.
October 29th, and the people there with a former UK MI6 chief, John Sawyers, director of the French Directorate for External Security, Bernard Bajulet, and former Israeli National Security Advisor, Jacob Amidror, and also Brennan from the CIA. I mean, these are the guys that are carrying out these operations. And then they have open meetings just beforehand. You also had just before the so-called drill in Denmark, there was a massive big drill planned outside Denmark where the theme was an atomic disaster where two vessels had collided. That was dismissed because I don't know what happened, but something got messed up. But the whole thing is just adding on to this, you know, like when you compress the whole thing, when you compress gunpowder and gas and explosive gases into a small chamber and you just keep squeezing it, the only thing you need in the end is just a little spark to, boom, get the whole thing to blow up. And here the passport so conveniently was stamped in Greece coming from Syria.
Yes.
And at the same time, we're being pumped with that all these refugees. The ISIS warriors are, among them.
Yeah, and then Hungary and countries like that who are actually discerning with allowing their refugees in, you know, they are actually sort of asking, who are you? Where do you come from? Women and children first type of thing. They're now being lambasted by the US and the EU for doing so.
I know.
In other words, let them in. We want the terrorists to be able to get in that way.
This is what you have to see. You have to see who is allowing it. You blame the immigrants. Like in Sweden, everybody has this problem with the beggars in the streets now from Romania. And everybody's pointing at the beggars saying, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't. Who let them in? They came very, very orchestrated. Boom. Overnight, more or less, in big bus loads, they were transported into Sweden. Why? To create this atmosphere of divide and conquer. Blame the immigrants. Blame the people.
Do not
look at who's behind the whole thing.
A wonderful little story I want to tell you. I mean, they did the same here in Ireland. And there's a town, if you like, a small town called Gort. G-O-R-T. And it's the far side of County Galway. On its way into County Clare. And what they did is they delivered a great big community of Brazilians to live there. In the hope that there would be division, there would be crisis, there would be trouble, there would be racism, there would be bigotry. Do you know what? They are the most loved, respected, and everyone's getting on fine. Thank you very much. In fact, Gort's local soccer team is raring to go.
I love it. But this is the thing. They, since they don't have a heart, I would say, they don't have compassion. They don't get it. And here, normal, beautiful people, they just don't do what they thought they would do. You know, you see all of these in emergency things. When a catastrophe happens, that is when people pick out their wallet. Everybody joins together. Let's help them. Let's help them. Instead of let's eat each other and kill each other, which they want us to do. So.
Yeah, we're told what to do. We're told who to fear. We're told who to hate, and we're told who to support. And that's the mainstream media puppet strings on every human being that's watching their shit.
Turn off the box. That is what I say. There's this amazing button, you know, on the remote. It says off.
I know, but listen, we need to take over that button. We need to take over that box, change the frequency and change the control mechanism.
Drop the control. It's the slogan, just do it. I say, just don't. They say all of this, just do it. And then I would say just don't. If we just don't, this whole machine would just come to an absolute standstill, a stop right away.
Yeah. No, I've just received my Irish water bill again. I'm just going to be returning to sender and thanking them for their poisoned water and expecting H2O, not H2 crap.
That is such a beautiful way of presenting it.
It's just true, isn't it? Look, Ollie, we've got people changing their Facebook profiles to have the French flag on it. We have all these people massively upset with anybody trying to decipher or distinguish what is actually going on. And we're being attacked for doing so. And yet these people, can they not see how controlled they are? Can they not see that it is a brainwashing facility? Can they not see that the 70 odd people died in Palestine the other day and such died in such and such a place? And did we change our flags for them? Did we give mainstream media support for them? Is it just the white European that needs our support?
Very good question. I think we should support everyone that is suffering.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter where they come from. But it's very important to understand that when you changed your flag on Facebook or add this flag or whatever, you, if what I say is true, then you are taking part of their operation.
Yep.
You are amplifying it
by
doing so. So I think take a step back, breathe deeply, see what's going on. And also look at the signs. You know, for instance, Wikipedia, they had full coverage of this massacre less than 2 hours after the event.
Incredible.
And they were adding stuff before it happened. It was on Wikipedia what the French Prime Minister was going to talk about before he actually talked about it. They had the exact numbers of the wounded. They had all of these things. On Twitter 2 days before they started this Twitter campaign about that. And this is not an isolated incident. This keeps repeating where the timeline doesn't fit in. You know, somebody's making a mistake. Somebody's stressed. Somebody's, trying to expose it. I don't know what, but these are the things that keeps repeating,
the building 3 going down or being stated that it was going down by a BBC reporter while it was stood right behind her.
Building 7, but yes, exactly.
Oh, right, okay. But the third building is what I call it.
The third building, for sure. Yes. But yeah, exactly. That is a typical. I mean, that on its own should just expose the whole thing.
Should have.
But also, as far as I've been informed by people in London, that Wembley Stadium was test lit up in the French colors.
Yes.
Like 1 hour or 2 hours before it actually happened in Paris.
Oh, really?
That is what I've been told by people in London. I know
it's been happening all over the world, actually, you know, from towers and buildings and stadiums, etc.
Yeah, but once again, what countries, the same countries where these so-called terror attacks have taken place, you know, in Australia, yeah. Canada, France, England.
Also, people are really nice, aren't they? I can understand people being in sympathy. I can understand people being shocked by this because it's what the media is portraying. It's what they're being shown in their faces. I mean, here recently, everybody changed in Ireland. Everybody changed their Facebook page to the rainbow in solidarity with gay rights. What they didn't realise was that very, very voting structure that was going to give, allegedly, some new gay rights, they already had them, by the way, to the gay community, actually, what they voted for was to remove rights from single parents. And they didn't know that. They didn't know they did that. And they still, some of them, don't know they've done that.
Just like you say, normal people are beautiful people. I think so. Yes. But it's just, we need to see when we're being played, you know, like they're playing ping pong with our brains and we're just following. I say this with the full respect. If I'm totally wrong about what happened in Paris, I apologize deeply. If I talk disrespectful about dead people that actually got killed, I totally apologize. I just think that since we're being bombarded with such a propaganda machine with a story that has major big holes in it, I think we need to look at it from a different angle and just question and say, hang on a second, did this really happen? Do you know, like, for instance, the Bataclan Club, when you look, it was owned by, it had Jewish owners up until 1 month ago. And they said that they had been under attack for anti-Zionist attacks. And then they sold this club. So 1 month before this happened, it was under control of someone else. I do not know who bought it. I really wanted to find out who are the new owners, because that means that for 1 month, somebody else had had access to this building in possible ways of preparing it for this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So back to the photo I never got to inside the Bataclan club. That's the only photo where you really see dead bodies. They're piled all over the place. The photo is taken up from the second level. So you look down in a bit of a distance. You can't really see anything in great detail, but there are like 25 bodies spread around. There was said to have been 80 at least killed in there, and a suicide bomber. Two of them or three of them blew themselves up there. No sign of that. But in between, a big in between the bodies, they're like, it looks like somebody has been using a massive big brush. I mean, like 1 meter wide, at least 1 meter wide. And they painted a heart in blood around these corpses.
Really?
I mean, really disgusting. It looks awful.
Wow.
It looks like one of these, you know, these machines that goes on the, when there's ice hockey games.
Yes,
and they,
yes,
they
yes.
go on the ice and drive around like that or clean up in the airports. It looks like they've used one of these, but spread the blood in a heart shape that is going around these dead bodies.
So that's another sort of tugging at the heartstrings of people looking at it, and another symbol, really, symbology.
The Valentine Massacre. I don't know why they do these awful things. I don't know.
Well, I suppose Paris is a very romantic city, apparently.
That's that as well. And that is the thing, you know, like Champs-Élysées or Paris in spring. That is the thing that you feel. Oh, the romance of France. And there you have this heart around this thing. But there's no police officers in that photo. There's nothing, just dead bodies and blood. Okay. And then you start, the one that I've managed to get hold of, it was actually a screenshot of the photo. So the photo data in that photo is non-existent because it's a screenshot. If it had been from the the real photo, then you would have been able to find out when was it taken, yeah, by what camera, all of these. By taking a screenshot, they managed to get around that one. And also, as far as I've been informed, then there's normally a very nice carpet in this concert hall. Here we have concrete floor with the blood under. So maybe they were very conveniently rolled and taken away, these beautiful mats or carpets, and so that they could do this whole blood scene.
But has there been a witness yet who's escaped from the nightclub?
I don't know if you've seen that. There's a video taken from an alley just to the right of the club. And by the way, the front of the whole front of this Bataclan building, it's a very colorful and it has quite a lot of Freemasonry symbolism in it. If you look into it, the pillars, the all-seeing eye, these things. But then in the alley, there's a man that hangs out from his window filming when people comes running out being shot at. So you got like six dead bodies.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah. And then they run out and he's filming up there, screaming out, what's happening? And they're dragging away dead bodies down there. There's a woman hanging from one...
There were two people hanging from windowsills and there was one guy hopping.
No, one guy stands in one window and one woman that is pregnant officially in the story, I would say maybe to amplify the emotional thing, she's hanging from one window. Nobody jumps. She's just hanging there and she hangs there for a long time, like several minutes. I've gone to Google Map and I found the exact building and I've taken photos out of that window and there are metal bars possibly she could stand on that and do what she does, but it looks very odd because she only holds on with one hand, and we're talking like, quite like 8-10 feet down, mm-hmm, at least. Maybe 15 feet. But the guy that took the filmed this whole thing, he is a journalist from Le Monde. So here we have, like around 9/11, every single witness or people that they called in while it was happening, you know, I'm standing here on 72 7th Street and all of them were connected to the five different networks. All of them. Somehow they were connected. And here, it's a journalist who films this. He films it, and then it said that he shot in the hand. I don't know how he managed to get shot, but that sort of also made him immune for criticism, I would say, because, you can't do that. He was shot, in the hand. Oh, he's up on the second floor in a totally different building, and the shooters never got out of that because they blew themselves up. So how the hell did he get shot in the hand?
How did he get shot? Yeah, that really is an anomaly that should be highlighted.
I think so. And then you look at when they carry these things out, they have these back alleys of very narrow streets that can very easily be shut off in one end, and this one is super long and very easy to shut up in, like it's at least 200-300 meters away, so you just close it off there and nobody can enter, and you can't see that it's blocked off on any footage or anything because it's too far down the road, and it's a one-way street, so they only need to shut it off in one end. And there, I would say that there's possibly extra lighting as well in the alley because it's really good for footage, and so on. So, and they, I tell you, if I can take it one step further, I think that they even do product placement. It's awful to say, but,
I hear what you're saying with the Nike shoes and all the rest of it.
The Nike shoes, it's standing there, two shoes standing very nicely. They look a little worn, but it's a very clear white Nike symbol in between the legs of these police officers.
Do you not think that's if you go down that route of the product placement, how dramatic that is and how obvious it seems, will that not detract from people actually listening to the rest of what you're saying?
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm taking it too far. I'm just pointing it out because it keeps repeating, like at the Charlie Hebdo, for instance. The only photo that was shown, that at least that I've been able to find from inside where these people were being killed, there were a pool of blood on the floor, and then a chair, an office chair, where the man is, the victim is said to have been sitting when being shot. There's absolutely no blood. This chair has been put right on top of this blood. There's no blood on the wheels. It's put on top of it. And, the splatter, the color does not match up with real blood. And then right next to it, you got a bag where it says Puma.
Yeah.
You got ISIS. I dare you. You show me one photo with ISIS where there's a vehicle in it if it's not a Toyota.
You're right.
It is Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Every single time there's an amateur video of a so-called terrorist event or the terrorist film themselves, it's a GoPro camera. I dare you. Show me one that's not filmed with a GoPro camera. And they keep, it's put in the text as well. You know, like, yeah, and it was filmed by a GoPro. They just mention it. Then you had the Charlie Hebdo, the Citroen that they were driving in. It was a Citroen from 2014 with chrome side mirrors. The one, you know, the video when they supposedly shot the police officer.
Yes.
In the street on the pavement. By the way, he lives in Brazil now. He's fine. I've heard, got reports from him. He's doing great. Mossad agent. but anyway, the vehicle that was then deserted with, shot out the rear window and so on. No, sorry. It's the other one. That was, a Citroen C3 from 2013, not even the same year, with black side mirrors, and without there's some extra lighting that the model from 2014 has. And then the photo that everyone has seen, I would say, is where they lift this vehicle up on a truck when after doing the forensic evidence and all of these things. And that one is it's polished. It looks like a coming from straight from a showroom, and it just hangs there totally polished. Please remember, millions and millions and millions of people are looking at these photos. So it's free advertising. And Charlie Hebdo was bought just a week or so, I think a week or two before this happened, by a Rothschild-owned company. And the profit after this massacre, so-called massacre, went up, as far as I know, 10,000%.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow the money. See what's going on. See how we're being fooled. Look, we've got 3 minutes left of the hour, Ollie. And now, I know that, we need to talk about this again. When the dust has settled, when you've done a bit more research into it, when you've, I suppose, collated as much information as you can and come up, I know you will come up with a few absolute, gems, that should be pointed out to people.
I'll be happy to come on anytime.
Absolutely.
Listen, can I say that, my website is Light on Conspiracies. If you can and want to, please support me by signing up for my newsletter or buy my books or whatever. What I try to do, I'm not employed by anyone or so, but what I try to do is when things like this happen, I try to get there, be on location and stop it either before or while it's happening. Because you need to be on site to really, pull these things apart. Otherwise, we're just being pumped with this official version.
This disinformation.
And otherwise, you just have to study other people's research, and that is not the real thing.
So, Ollie, putting you on the spot now, and obviously the answer could be, I don't know. What false flag or organized chaos is next?
I don't know. I think since this is I really feel that they've been building up for this crescendo for a long time. I think they were planning around Jade Helm around the 15th and 23rd of September to make this whole thing come.
Yeah,
but they failed, and now they're trying again, but this time they really tried to go for it. So I would not be surprised if they would try another one, which would be a super false flag stage event, to divert the attention away so that we will not stay focused on Paris and and that would, if the pattern fits, that would be carried out either in Denmark, the UK, France, Canada or Australia, okay. I would say, one of these places, because that is where the other connected events have happened.
Absolutely. Look, Ollie, I really think that we should make sure that people know what we are up to. You say you're not employed by anybody. You're just out there trying to get the information for people. Exactly the same. People's Internet Radio, we rely on donations. We rely on people supporting us. I'm off to the UK to meet up with Gordon Bowden and John Patterson at a court case in Brighton next week. And I couldn't be there if it wasn't for the support I'm getting from my listeners. So I want to thank them. I also want to thank any of them that's supporting yourself. I know that some people that I've spoken to privately about yourself, about what you are doing, I know they support you. And it's really, really important that this support is utilized. We can't be doing the work we're doing without at least living. Okay. So on top of that, you need as much support as you can get. So lightonconspiracies.com. You've updated your website as well. It's quite a new look to it.
Yeah. There are hundreds of interviews, hundreds of film interviews as well. Lots of information about different cases and it's just like you say, it's, I'm just an ordinary guy. So are you, but we've devoted our lives to truth and reveal and stop this madness. I mean, I'm sure both you and I would just love to take a beer, relax, kick back,
put our feet up and
let's just enjoy life. But at the moment we are in a situation where they're moving forward fast and where we need to stop it by exposing it, non-violent focus on the truth and just expose it.
Absolutely. We have work to do, and the work we have to do really is that the mass population of this planet can see who, what, and why are responsible for what's going on globally. Every war, every false flag, every despicable atrocity that's going on around the world. Now, I do want to say for the dissenters out there as well, of course, we had it here in Ireland. When something happens, and then there is a backlash. For example, Syria has just been bombed to feck by France immediately after this. I know there will be people in Syria, individual human beings, who would be willing and want possibly to carry out these type of atrocities, okay? As a backlash, as a response, as a reaction to this. And that's what the mainstream media and the propaganda machine is hoping we will believe and dote upon. They are minimal, they are very, very few, and believe me, they are nothing to do with these organized, orchestrated, military precisioned false flag events.
I can only say here.
I think it's important because these, you know, we have the odd one-off nutters, don't we?
Yeah, of course, and who can blame them? I mean, if they're totally innocent and being bombed to crap, I mean, who can blame them?
Exactly.
Who wouldn't try to defend themselves? But these people, we're talking like maybe, poor farmers or people without high-tech equipment or anything, and they're up against super states of super high-tech warfare technology, surveillance tech, and there's supposed to be able to get in here, bypass all of these security measures and so on, and then carry out super duper operations without interference? I think not.
Absolutely. On that note, Ollie, I'm going to say thank you so, so much for coming on my midday show, my friend.
You're most welcome.
And I know we've done this early, so unfortunately it'll be just me myself playing this and answering or hopefully answering or passing on questions to you.
Listen, Sean, if you want to just collect questions, and I'll be happy to do a show, maybe just Q&As or whatever.
Brilliant. Ollie Damigard, thank you so, so much. People out there, check out lightonconspiracies.com. It is an eye-opener of magnitude by massive proportions. Have a look at it, see what the work Ollie is doing, and let's have more Ollie Damigards out there, hey?
I need to clone myself, maybe.
Don't be saying that. They're probably doing it as we speak.
Oh, yoy.
Ollie Damigard, thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Sean.
shiny day. Straight!